So when you're out on Sydney's roads, we've all experienced some kind of encounter, whether we're a cyclist or in a car. Everyone has their own opinion. It means all sorts of altercations can arise from interactions between drivers and cyclists. Big issue here in Sydney. And a lot of them, not so pleasant. To discuss the relationship between cars and bicycles on Australian roads, we're joined by Ashley Carruthers, lecturer in anthropology at the Australian National University in Canberra. Ashley, good morning.
Hi, good morning.
Thanks for joining us on The Daily. What's the relationship like between cars and bicycles on our roads?
That's a complicated question, isn't it?
Hmm.
I mean, as I tried to say in my article, I think it's mostly respectful and convivial and safe and so on. But, you know, we who cycle know that there are lots of moments when it's not. So I'm trying to talk about the fact in the article that the sense of kind of reciprocity and equality that we imagine ourselves to have on the road is something we mostly hear about in discussions of cycling and when policy gets made, but it's not necessarily something that gets enacted out there on the road. So the possibility for, you know, good and respectful relations is there, but I'm arguing that basically the choice about that is in the hands of the driver. So it's kind of like a case where drivers are self-regulating in their behaviour towards cyclists.
Okay, so not so much cyclists self-regulating in regards to, say, road rules.
As a cyclist, the research that we do have shows that in car and bicycle crashes, drivers are overwhelmingly at fault. Those are the reported crashes. There are probably lots of crashes that go on every day that don't get reported. And so I suspect that the actual figure might even be higher. So we can do so much to keep ourselves safe, and certainly we can follow the road rules. But really the truth is that the safety of cyclists is largely in the hands of the driver.
Right. Do you think that the 1 meter rule as it stands, do you think that's currently working?
Look, not in my experience. People elsewhere, for example, in Tasmania, are arguing that it has been an effective campaign and that it's changed driver behaviour. Where I ride is in Canberra. You know, I'm on the roads every day, either as a commuter or as a Lycra guy. And I have to say I haven't noticed any difference whatsoever in driver behaviour. Every day I still get close passes. Almost every day I still get what I describe as aggressively close passes that are kind of deliberately sort of antisocial acts on the part of the driver who doesn't like the cyclist. So for me, I appreciate the attempt by the Amy Gillett Foundation to make a change here. I've had a bit of a taste of doing advocacy, and I appreciate it's very, very hard work. But for me, it's a very kind of humble claim. It's really the kind of equivalent of just pleading, please don't kill us. And I'd like to see our advocacy, you know, go much further.
Okay, well, what could be done? What do you think the rules should be? What do you think, is it an infrastructure thing? Do you think there need to be more bike lanes? What could be done?
I think, yeah, we need a holistic approach. I mean, people always look at the Netherlands as a case of kind of global best practice in terms of how you encourage people to cycle, how you create lively, healthy, engaged cities through having active commuting options where they're safe and convivial. Denmark as well. I noticed there was a bit of a meme going around, I think, of a Danish princess who goes to school on her bicycle. So even royalty ride there, you know. I think,
What are the Dutch and the Danes doing differently that we're not doing here in Australia?
Well, one thing is infrastructure. I mean, they've decided a long time ago, you know, back in the 70s, that they were basically going to reduplicate road infrastructure for cyclists and then again reduplicate it for walkers. So that's another significant difference, that they don't assume that walkers and cyclists can be crammed onto the same real estate and that will work. But as well as those infrastructural things, there are legal measures that they've taken. Okay, so people debate the importance of this in the Dutch context, but the strict liability, as we know it, laws, basically put the onus of proof on the driver in the case of a crash between a driver and a vulnerable road user. So if you imagine the Australian context, we know that if you run up the back of someone in your car, you'll be assumed to be at fault, right? Mm-hmm. We all accept that that's, you know, it's a bit arbitrary, and yet we accept that that's a fair enough way to sort things out when it's otherwise difficult. So if you could imagine, if you hit a cyclist or a pedestrian, then you would automatically be assumed to be at fault, and the burden of proof would be on you to show that, okay, that person broke the law, or that person was drunk or acting irrationally, and therefore it wasn't my fault. Doesn't mean that cyclists can do whatever they do and get away want to do and get away with it, but it just means that the assumption of guilt lies with the driver of the vehicle.
Right. To finish up with, I've got a fairly sort of a question that gets asked a lot, particularly here in Sydney. Should cyclists have special licences and should their bikes be registered?
Well, yeah, not for me. It's quite amusing when this debate was going on. I was actually in Hanoi and I went to a restaurant that is a kind of museum of the Stalinist central planning period that Vietnam went through in the 70s and 80s. And I noticed in one of the little display cases on the wall, there was actually a kind of registration card for a bicycle. So it's something that kind of Stalinist regime thought was necessary and appropriate at the time. But nowadays, Vietnam doesn't bother with such a system because it seems ridiculous to them.
You don't think it's important, though, to identify people that are on the road and the vehicles that they're on?
Not when it comes to cyclists, no. I think the assumption that if cyclists were kind of riding around with, you know, visible number plates on, and that's a whole other question of how you'd actually enable that. If anyone's ever tried to report another driver for dangerous driving, for instance, something like going through a red light, which cyclists are often accused of, you know, you'll appreciate that it's a very unedifying experience. You usually don't get much of a response from the police, and, you know, it's not really something is an effective sort of tool for us to change other people's bad behavior on the road. So I'm not sure why people imagine it would be any different when it came to cyclists. And then I think, you know, if we do have a crash, unless it's a hit and run, you know, the cyclist is right there. It's not a problem to identify who they are. So this assumption that sort of somehow cyclists are getting away with terrible behavior and if we had them licensed or registered, we'd be able to see who they were and stop it. I think that's a bit of a fallacy.
Yeah, I don't think that's more the point. More about just sort of identifying them and making them aware. And like the same thing, for me to register my car, I've got to make sure that it's safe and roadworthy. Should that not be the same case for a bike?
I don't think so. I mean, I think we've already got enough disincentives to cycling in Australia. There's nowhere else in the world that requires cyclists to do that for very good reason. You know, riding a bicycle should be a natural act. It should just be an extension of walking. And the damage or the harm that you can do to someone else with a bicycle is very, very limited compared to what you can do with a larger, more powerful vehicle. So we have to register our cars for good reason. I think most people think that that's fair. But for me, it's really over the top trying to do it for bicycles. And, the practicalities and the expenses of it would just completely outweigh any perceived benefits, I would argue.
You raise a good point there about bikes. You're not going to, obviously, if you bump into someone with your bike, you can do a lot less damage if you bump into someone with a car. That's just, makes sense. If with that in mind, then, should bikes perhaps be using sort of walkways and pedestrian sort of ways rather than on the roads?
This is another issue. We have a lot of kind of pedestrian cyclist angst in Australia as well. And, I ride on bike paths, I ride on footpaths sometimes, especially when I'm with my children. And, I freely admit that I see cyclists behaving badly when it comes to pedestrians. You know, I think as a cyclist on the road, you often feel bullied in the hierarchy of traffic. And then if you take that bullying behavior onto the footpath, we lose as cyclists. I think
I'm thinking more along lines just harm minimization, though. If you bump into someone with your bike, you can do a lot less damage, even if they're on foot, than if, a car, a bus, a truck, anything is going to bump into someone on a bike. Wouldn't you agree?
Sure, but then, are we saying that we are not going to allow cyclists on the road? Because I think, that sort of thing, if you provide a proper infrastructure, where the off-road path is, safe, it's convenient, it's a desirable place to ride, then people will use it. But if, on the other hand, it's, as we have in Sydney, if the cycle path network is broken up, it's discontinuous, it's full of kind of segments that might be nice in themselves but don't necessarily connect to anything, you're going to choose the road if your mission is to commute and get somewhere on time. The same as if you're in a car, you're going to take the most, the fastest and most convenient route.
Straight through a park. Ashley, thank you so much for your time. It's been lovely having a chat with you today about cycling.
Thank you.
Thanks, mate. There we are. That was Ashley Carruthers, their lecturer in anthropology at ANU down in Canberra, where they ride around in one big circle, talking about the relationships between cars and bikes on Australian roads.